Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of Titus chapter 3, we were learning about the Holy Spirit's convicting us of sin, even though no one ever told us that such a thought, word, or deed was sin. Let's continue that discussion today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
He's on his firm foundation for the Bible says.
Let's say you didn't grow up in church. You get saved. And there's a guilt that you have that you're not sure why. You didn't have that guilt before. Well, you see, the goal after getting a person saved is to bring them to the gentleness and meekness that is Christ, but also to the purity and the holiness that is Christ. A young man in the church that I pastored, we'll just call his name Kyle. Kyle, we led to the Lord in our visitation program in his home. And he was just a young man. I think he was about 19 years old, was already married, had a kid. He might have been 20, but not much older than that. Had a little baby. Got saved. He was working on a job that pretty well took up his whole time all day Sunday and Wednesday night. But he would be on his way to work in the mornings, and sometimes he'd see my car sitting out there about 7 o'clock in the morning or earlier at that church. And so he started stopping in and asking me questions. You know, we'd encourage him to get in the Bible and so forth, give him some literature to help him grow. And since he's not at church, you know, we didn't even have him baptized yet because he was working all those days. But, you know, he asked me, said, is it all right for me to have that six pack? He said, I know it's wrong with the drink. But he said, I keep it in my refrigerator. So I have victory over. And so I told him, well, no, now you're just tempting the Lord. You're just challenging Satan to come and try. And he can make you fall. Now get rid of it. That's what you once were. You don't want any associates. Somebody comes in your house and opens the refrigerator and sees that, they don't see you as a saved person. And he got that and he threw it out. He and his wife had used tobacco. He chewed it and she smoked it. And so he knew it was wrong. He got rid of it. But his wife had a harder time getting rid of it than he did. And so he talked to her about it and all that. And he said, is it wrong? We talked about those things. And there are a few other things he talked about that he got convicted about. And they were sin. They did before. He knew other Christians that did before. So he didn't think it was that bad. He didn't know. And yet he felt convicted. And so I said to him, again, we'll use the name Kyle. I said, Kyle, have you ever been to my church to hear me preach? He said, no, sir. He says, you know, it's the reason I can't. No, I'm not asking the reason why you haven't been. He said, I know why you haven't been. Why I'm saying that is you feel convicted about those things and you've never heard me preach against. That's what the Holy Spirit, he came to live in you. And when the Holy Spirit begins to convict you of something that's wrong, stop it right then. Don't try to reason it out. You stop what's wrong right then. Oh, just a couple of years ago in the church I pastor now, we had a young lady come forward. Man, she had metal in her face. She had some tattoos. And I mean, this was a wild girl. I mean, she was probably about 20 years old, and I mean, she was wild. She got saved, got baptized that night. Next Sunday I saw her, all the medals out of her face. She's got a dress on. And it's a modest length as well. And she even came up and asked me, about a month later, she said, Should I be wearing earrings? I don't know if that's sin. If it is, I won't wear them. She didn't want to do anything that would be an offense to God. Now, she's still going faithful here several years later. She's still faithful. She's still right there. She gets involved now in the ministry. But there was a time that some people might look down on her. She got saved. God can change them. And when she got changed, she got rid of that stuff she always liked before. Now, there's other things I wouldn't tell you about her, because some people think, well, you shouldn't even have a person like that in your church. Well, that's the way she was. Such were some of you. God saved her. God saved the young man. I called him Kyle. So we'll say God saved Kyle. And so, somebody had compassion to invite that young girl to church, that young lady, and she got saved. So, that's why when you first got saved, some things happened and you got guilty about it because you had the Holy Spirit about it. So remember, in your pre-saved life, you did the things that we just read here in verses 1 and 2 and 3. The old nature still had its foot in you. And it will remain there until we're caught up to be with the Lord, and that old nature is completely done away with. But he gave you a new nature. He also gave you a spirit. And it's up to you to decide where you're going to walk in the spirit or that old nature. See, we have a Holy Spirit who convicts us when something's wrong. But remember the Great Commission? After they're saved, they get baptized, and then they need to be taught to observe all things that he commanded us. Had a man one time come in my office, and he was talking about another man in our church. And both men were in our church. This other man he was talking about was, he's faithful. He served in the church and things of that nature. But the man, he said, yeah, he does go out in visitation. He says, I go out every day. He says, I go door to door. And yeah, he didn't have a job. He was retired, and he just had some kind of a medical income. But he's going out there all the time. He says, and I'm witnessing winning souls. And so I said, oh, let me ask you something. And I want to ask you two things. Number one, how many of those kids and people that you say you led to the Lord that you brought in here and walking down the aisle and make it a public profession? Well, I tried, you know, and get them here, but then, you know, and then that kind of backed off. Then I says, but now let me ask you something else. Do you know whether or not that man is making visits at a different time? Because it's not church, he's not there at church visitation. He may have a job that doesn't allow him to be there at that time. Now, I happen to also know that the other man that he's talking about had brought some visitors to church, you know, so he's making a contact somewhere. This is so you don't know if he's been out himself or not, do you? So you're judging this man based on what you think and not what you know. And he kind of backed off after that, you see. So he realized, well, no, you can't really go that way then, can you? So we should sometimes just look back and see what God saved us from. And you see somebody got saved out of a sordid lifestyle, but they're starting to have problems. That means you ought to be one of the ones, you've been there, you've done it. It's kind of like in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it's talking about comforting those with the comfort that you're comforted with, and when those that are in sorrow and things of that nature. Well, you do it in this stuff as well. I think of Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. It's there where Paul says, the good things that I would do, I end up not doing. The bad things I would not do, I end up doing. Wait a minute. Paul, the apostle, the good things he'd do, he ends up not doing them. The bad things he wouldn't do, he does them. What's going on here? And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. He called himself a wretched man. That with the flesh, it was that old law of sin, but now in the Spirit, in Christ, he's serving the law of God. So I'm just saying this, is that, yeah, you still get tempted. And so I believe that's why we're told here, as I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, but also here in our text, where we're being told to remember. He's saying, guys, you better remember this. It's important that you remember. You were there. You know. You sometimes were disobedient, deceivers, and serving diverse kinds, different kinds of law. Wow. Hateful? Hating one another? That was their testimony. Such were. But they got saved. They got right with God. So, remember, in your pre-saved life, you did the things that these first few verses here in Titus chapter 3 are telling us about. He helped you somewhere to hear the gospel, his Spirit to convict you, and you got saved. You got it right with God. Well, don't forget, these people need to hear from you. Now, there are gifts that Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 tells us about to the local church. He talks about the pastor, he talks about the teachers, he talks about some other things that he calls them gifts to the local church. And evangelists, I mean, he goes on telling about these are gifts for the local church. Why? Because they are going to teach us the word, show us the way we ought to live. And so it's a gift so that we can grow thereby. Now, I'm not against discipleship programs that some churches have. But understand, if a preacher is preaching the word, and you're there each service, you're being discipled as he's teaching you what God has to say. Now, I can remember over the years, it happened with my father too, but over the years I've had people say, oh, they preach salvation. Oh, he preaches salvation. I finally answered one to say, well, you know, the Bible says that preaching the gospel is power to them that believe. So can't preach salvation without the gospel. So therefore, if preaching's not deep enough to, if you say it's not deep, salvation not deep, then some reason or another you've missed it, because this power, if it's not power of God to you, it's not that you're not getting fed. The food is there. You're not eating it.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my